You know, we're always trying to find that one way, that one hack to live a better life. But the Bible shows a different way. Find out on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey, welcome to Inverse. We are smack in the middle of this segment on mercy and justice throughout the Bible. We looked at different portions of the Bible. We looked at the prophets. We looked at the law. We looked at the New Testament. And now we're discussing the gospel, but in a particular way. We looked at the gospel in different episodes in the past. But with my panelist friends today, we are looking at different ways to elevate humanity, not based on technology or drugs or these synthetic means, but through the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a word of prayer. Sebastian, you pray for us and pray that we can read the Bible appropriately with the Holy Spirit's help, Holy Spirit's guidance, and we'll get into it.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, Jesus died for people, died to restore them and to bring them to glory. And Lord, we pray that as we explore the power of your gospel to accomplish that, and other practical ways that we can participate in what God is doing in the lives of other people, that you would bless our study, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Callie, can we, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 9, let's go to verse 35 and then verse 36.
Okay. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd.
Yeah. Jonathan, give us some context. What's going on in those verses?
Well, Jesus is here about to do his Father's business, as he always does. This is a wonderful description of just Jesus' life and ministry. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, and he is among the people. I love that. I mean, you know, we talked about what should be on our tombstone in our last episode. Like, this is a great description. You know, maybe that should be on our tombstone. But Jesus is here engaged in ministry, and then he sees the multitudes. He's gazing over these people that are seeking him for whatever needs they have. And he's moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. In other words, they were scattered. They don't know in and out. They don't know where to go. They don't have a solution. They need the Messiah. They need a Savior. And he's moved with compassion. What I think is an incredible thing to say about the Son of God, that he has compassion on us who are not the best. You know, we are pretty evil and mean, but he has compassion on us people.
Yeah, this is a powerful verse in the sense that Jesus was compassionate. I know that sounds so cliche, but let's step back a bit and take a look at our generation. Yeah, how many of you are are on the internet and you find all these different commercials on Insta or Facebook or Twitter about the latest way to hack something? You know, these are the best shoes ever. Like if you can go in the water and they'll dry in 2 seconds, and then you got to buy this crowd stores, and this is the best shirt. This will never get wrinkled. It wicks away moisture. It's like got silver properties, antibacterial. This is the best perfume. This is the best hair. This is the best whatever. And we're always trying to up ourselves. If you can just do this exercise in this many minutes, you only have to do this, and you lose 100 pounds by tomorrow. Like all these little things.
Wow.
Or if you read this book, you can be telepathic, or you can sense. You know, we're always trying to elevate ourselves in different ways.
Yes.
And the millennial generation makes fun of the past for all the amounts of money that were spent, but the millennials do it just as much, but we use it through our cell phones or through, you know, glasses and you know, computers in our noses or whatever it is. And, you know, I read a book where, I have a son and I have two sons, and in raising children, the most advanced human quality you can teach your children is compassion. maybe the most difficult and the most human attribute of humanity mm-hmm. is compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the hack for compassion? What's mm-hmm. the hack for living a godly and holy life, which I think every religion, every ideology wants, but yeah. we can't. So what does Jesus have? What is Jesus saying? What can Jesus provide for us?
Well, there are
Callie.
Two aspects of compassion that I think make it difficult for millennials or just human nature in general.
Okay.
One is that it requires selflessness.
Yes.
Because it's focused on someone else. You have compassion for someone's situation. But another one that I struggle with the most is compassion a lot of time involves pain.
Okay.
Because you see someone else in pain.
I mean, I'm already turned off. Like, selflessness and pain.
Basically, they compassion.
That just does not sound.
I mean, yeah.
I don't like that.
It's true. Well, because you think about it, you don't have compassion on someone when they're happy. Like, oh, they're so happy.
Right.
I feel compassionate for you.
Right.
It's like when someone's suffering and when you take notice of that and you enter into their experience. Because in this case, going back to the text, in verse 36, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered, mm-hmm. like sheep having no shepherd. Mm-hmm. So there was something wrong in what he was seeing, and that's what moved him to compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this struggle where I go between either I can care a lot, so be compassionate, if you will, and I can care and be involved, but that's like exhausting. And so then it's like, well, I'd just rather be apathetic. Mm-hmm. So I see mm-hmm. suffering, but I'd rather just not see it because, and we have this thing like compassion fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want to be so compassionate and so giving. And, but Jesus sees the pain and he still gives into it. And so Jesus has like this balance though, mm-hmm. that I don't know how he does it of, yeah, he just, like, he doesn't care so much what people think, like, oh, I want you to like me, so I'm going to, like, do things mm-hmm. for you. So he doesn't care, like, he's apathetic in that sense, but he is infinitely caring towards people's basest and most smallest needs.
Okay, we'll get to Johnson, but Kelly, can I ask, can you define
yeah.
some of your terms?
Yeah,
you wanted to be compassionate, but you were empathetic instead, and you ended up being apathetic.
Sorry.
So I think I was tracking, but just in case someone
yeah.
might not able to follow those.
So I'll just stick to compassionate and apathetic.
Okay.
Forgive me.
Okay.
So compassionate is caring for other people and caring for them so much in a sense that you identify with their needs and you feel for them, like there's emotional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Apathetic is not caring.
Mm-hmm.
So I see someone in need, I do not care. I don't want to help you. I don't care about helping you. You can suffer and I don't have any emotional need.
Is there a level where you can feel bad for the person but have no emotional investment? Is that somewhere in between?
Yeah, I mean, there's also stuff like, and that's where it gets complicated, especially millennials, we label everything.
Yeah.
But there's like false guilt or like, yeah, I'm sorry that you're sad, but like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm going to leave. Like, I don't feel bad enough to help you. It's just like, I feel, and that's, again, we're trying to escape, like, almost the temptation to be compassionate. You know, compassion.
Yeah, negative vibes. Like,
exactly.
why do you answer that? Yeah.
But it just makes okay. you feel bad, so I don't
right.
want to know about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think one
Jonathan,
of the,
help us out. Yeah, I think one of the reasons why we struggle with compassion is because we, in this world we live in, it's easy to lose your innocence. What I mean with that is, when you,
huh.
When you are used to problems or to seeing evil things or bad things around you, and you get used to it, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had absolute purity and innocence in his
yeah.
heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever he was faced with something that is not righteousness, something that's not right, something that's not in harmony with how we're supposed to be, and remember, he is God. He knows the potential that is in us, the beauty that is in us. He sees it all. And he sees something in our lives that is not in harmony with that innocence that we were supposed to have. And that's the only kind of existence we are supposed to experience, because sin was never part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees that, he feels so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so innocent because there is no sin in him
mm-hmm.
that his heart is moved
mm-hmm.
when he sees the pain that we are going through
mm-hmm.
because he is so innocent. So how do we get compassion? I think we need that innocence.
That
yeah.
innocence, that purity, that righteousness. Okay,
yeah.
so this is the search of the house. We're with Kelly and then and Sebastian.
I just wanted to give a practical...
We're going to include Sebastian. We're going to be compassionate
sorry,
to him.
And
he's on the
even
end there, so
the
we're going to include
table.
Him.
You're good.
I'm just thinking about a book I'm teaching right now in one of my classes, and we talk about some suffering someone went through, but I've already taught my students a couple stories of different people going through really horrific things. And I told them, like, you have a temptation to be like, I mean, it isn't as bad as the last story. So, like, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even think about in you know, the U.S., mm-hmm. you have school shootings. Like, well, only five people died. We've seen other ones that, like, 30 people died. So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But that's just our inclination to be like, well, I've heard of worse things. Or even I've
yeah.
been through worse things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jonathan has such a beautiful point of going back to that innocence. And even though, you know, it's not the innocence of Jesus, of, like, again, just focusing compassion on Jesus and, like, show me what it's supposed to be, Lord. Mm-hmm. And help me to have compassion, not just for the one-up terrible mm-hmm. events, but every view of suffering that I mm-hmm. see, help me to have compassion for those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do in my work is give seminars on emotional intelligence in the workplace, because there's huge problems with people of different cultures and ages and whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really impacted me was exploring the concept of an emotional intelligence, the idea of empathy, and the fact that there were three levels. You can empathize in the sense that, okay, I understand why you're thinking what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. I understand how you feel. But then the third level was, I can sense what you need. Mm-hmm. And in Jesus, having compassion, many times we hit a wall because we're so focused on, okay, I understand why you think the way you're thinking, or I understand how you felt. And we stop compassion there.
Right.
Oh, man, they must be feeling terrible because there was a shooting at the school. But it goes a step further that Jesus, in our text, in verse 35, he's healing every sickness and disease among the people. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just moved with compassion. Verse 36 says that he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Mm. There was no one to make sure that they could get to still waters and mm-hmm. find things to graze so that they could nourish themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He saw that the leadership at that time was not providing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that move of compassion moved him to say, well, I'm going to provide what I see these people are not getting, because Jesus didn't just say, I feel bad. Mm-hmm. He didn't just say, well, I can understand why you guys are acting the way you're acting and going through what you're going through. He actually sensed what they needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a key part of compassion development, is asking myself those questions, like, why does the person think this way? Why are they feeling this way? And what do they need? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a step-by-step process that I've tried to go through is, don't just rush to say, oh, okay, I understand. Rather than thinking, well, the person's telling me these things, but what do they need from me?
Mm-hmm.
And I need to sense that, because it's not always the case that a person lacking money wants to borrow cash.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, hey, man, if you could give me a job, or if you could help me, mm-hmm. give me a coat that I could wear to an interview. That's sometimes what they need. Mm-hmm. But we're so quick to rush and answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Why is it so difficult?
It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature. We, as sinners having fallen from grace, we do not naturally mm-hmm. have compassion.
Mm-hmm. So now that we answered the why, it's our human nature, right. That we have fallen so far from the glory of God. Why? How? How do we?
Yeah, I mean, I think you
kind of hold that thought. When we come back after the break, we'll see how Jonathan answers that question of how do we live this life of compassion and full living the way that Christ intended for all humanity to live.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
I mean, how do we live this life of Christian perfection and righteousness and compassion and all these good things the Bible is saying? How? And the traditional answer is, you just got to try harder. You mm-hmm. just got to do more. Mm-hmm. You just got to have more faith. Have you guys heard that? Have mm-hmm. more faith and it'll work. Mm-hmm.
So Jonathan
solved this problem we've been having for about 2,000 years.
I remember not too long ago, I was praying, and I'm still praying for more of this experience. I was praying, Lord, give me genuine compassion, genuine desire to help people. Mm. Because as we established, it's not in our nature. And the Bible tells us, go and help people, have compassion, those things. I'm like, Lord, I want to, but I don't have it. So what do I do? So I prayed, and here are two things that stood out to me that have been helping me in having genuine compassion being developed in my life. One thing is looking at Jesus. I know it sounds very cliche, like have faith, but it is true, because when you look at the innocence and the purity of Jesus, then you see, and then also how he deals with you. When you recognize how messed up you are and how much compassion he has on you and what he was willing to do, he went all the way for you, that your heart breaks when you realize that. And when you see that this is how Jesus treats all of us, I can see myself in other people.
Well, let's break that down. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your description of Jesus. And but you said look to Jesus, and it is cliche, but it is the answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
We always say look to Jesus, look to the Lamb. So for mm-hmm. someone who is sincere, who wants mm-hmm. to follow Jesus, who wants to look to Jesus, mm-hmm. what does that mean practically that they need to do? You need to get a picture of Jesus and stare at him, which I know that sounds ridiculous, but some people have actually even done that.
Yes.
So how do we do that? So we'll come to John and then Callie.
Well, for me, it comes to the story of the cross. When I let that, when I ponder upon that, when I read about it, and the Holy Spirit, you know, fleshes that in.
There's reading and pondering.
Yes, there's thinking about what happened at the cross.
Uh-huh.
When I see the incredible love of God there revealed for someone like me who really does not deserve any of this,
mm-hmm.
My heart breaks.
So it's thinking about Jesus and comparing your current condition to what you read in the scripture about the cross. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We do a lot of thinking here, so thinking is the thinking is the verb. Okay,
well,
all right, Callie.
Well, I do something very similar. That is to read the stories of the Bible.
Read, okay.
But think about whatever I'm struggling with in that specific case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about maybe I'm working with someone that I find very frustrating. And so going to a story and reading how Jesus spoke with someone or interact with someone that I find very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So people calling Jesus illegitimate child.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very frustrating and annoying. Mm-hmm. But how Jesus responds to them and how he doesn't respond to them like Callie would.
Okay.
And so
mm-hmm.
meditating
so I'm thinking
on that,
about how Jesus would treat me and how I treat Sebastian and how those two are so different.
You should bring that to Jesus.
Okay.
Because
there's a juxtaposition there.
I think sometimes, you're right, we have this look to Jesus, what did he do? I don't know. And, you know, we do know the stories, but we don't know the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember the exact details. So they said this, and
mm-hmm.
then Jesus did that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no vengeance in Jesus' heart. There was no unkindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm feeling and what I want to do is not following Jesus' example.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus lived the life that we can live through his grace. And so saying, Jesus, you did this.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to give me the grace and strength to react the same way you did, not just externally, but in my heart also.
What I hear you saying is we have thinking and reading going on, but there's also prayer involved.
Absolutely.
You're communicating to God.
Claiming, like Jesus,
and being
you showed me, and so you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sebastian?
And to me, the composite of whatever what's all being said is, it's important for us to consistently, daily, have a thoughtful time upon just the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know it. And it needs to constantly be centered before us.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that we're discussing about compassion development is accomplished through the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And by meditating on the gospel, the story of how God redeemed me
mm-hmm.
is just giving me step by step
mm-hmm.
of breaking my heart of the compassion that God had. Yeah, I'm willing to humble myself and come down and be born of Mary
mm-hmm.
in a stable with animals and be persecuted and children being genocidally killed systematically just for searching for me because someone was jealous of their position as a king.
Mm-hmm.
In every single step of Christ's life, and that full composite story of the gospel culminating at the mm-hmm. cross, it's taking me by shock, by surprise and awe that my own maker, my own king
mm-hmm.
would do these things for me. It's impossible for you to meditate on that and to have it presently before you all the time and not have that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the grace of God is shown.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the benevolence and the compassion and the love of God comes for, and that thing will
I
take
love
you
over this concept you guys are bringing up of grace. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2,
yay.
And you may know the verse that I'm pointing towards, which this is the operative mechanism by which Christianity works.
Yes.
Okay? I'm a biology sociology guy, so I don't use the word operative mechanism. But verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Like, it took me a very long time, me personally, to understand grace. I always thought Christianity and my religion was you come to church and you confess your sins and you go home. It's more of a recycling center. You bring in your bottles and your boxes, you put it in, and now it's off your hands. You go back home just to collect more recycling things throughout the week and come back every week.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that this recycling center taught me how not to bring by recycling. Anyway, that doesn't mean the analogy doesn't work. But it's where grace wasn't only forgiveness, mm-hmm. but it was the power to change.
Transformative.
Absolutely.
I don't think we understand that enough. We want more of the grace of God to forgive us of our sins. Mm-hmm. But there's a transform. And it wasn't until that I understand, and maybe this sounds pretty crazy, mm-hmm. but as magical. And I know that sounds like, you know, war, mm-hmm. but it's outside of myself.
Yes.
And it does something to change. And that's what I mean by magic. It's in my limited, I wouldn't use the word magic anymore because of this other connotations to it.
Right.
But it changes you. And I can't do that by my own self. Mm-hmm. And that, every time I think of it, it's just totally revolutionary, provided by the cross, mm-hmm. through prayer, yeah. and I forgot your answer, but through Sebastian's
gospel,
thing.
The gospel.
Yeah. That's the gospel. Yeah. And then that's why we can do episodes 1-7. All that we talked about is done by this one verse, and it's just amazing. It's Jonathan.
You know,
sorry, Sebastian.
I mean, it was cool, too.
Yes. It's always good.
Yeah.
But I think the principle of grace is... needs to or will naturally lead us to action. So we've mm-hmm. talked about Bible study and prayer and focusing on the cross and the gospel. But it's also as we engage in the things that have to do with grace. So bringing it back to, you know, acting on mercy and justice and compassion. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't automatically suddenly have compassion for everybody. Mm. But it was a combination of the meditative experience with God in the Word, and then going out to the people. And I would go to, you know, I'm a pastor, so I would go to homes and I might not always have the greatest compassion as I go there. But as I'm sitting there ministering to the needs and sometimes just out of obligation, suddenly something happens in your heart because you're collaborating with you're working with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and He's putting in your heart. And I mean, I have many, many times I would go to a home, I would not be in a good mood. I'm like, okay, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to the people and I would get tears in my eyes because I see how selfish my attitude was.
Mm. Mm.
But I did not have that experience and that compassion until I went out. Faith is very active. You have to go out and act on that principle of grace. And when you do, you experience true compassion. Mm-hmm. That's the moment when Jesus lives through you, mm-hmm. and changes your heart. And it is something so sweet and desirable. It's like a foretaste of heaven. So I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And that way you grow in your experience of grace personally and as you become a channel of grace as well. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. its activity is connected.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. Callie.
I love these verses because it's both like commissioning you for work and telling you that your work really means nothing in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not saved, so stop thinking that.
That's right.
And I too also really just struggled with that for the longest time of, Jesus justifies me, but I like sanctify myself. I don't know where I got that idea, except for human nature. And this idea of like, it's like repeated several times. For grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, in case you're curious. Also, none of works. That's the one you boast. Like, how many times do I need to say this to get through your skulls?
Mm-hmm.
But then, kind of going to what Jonathan said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, Jesus saves us for good works, not by good works. The power
that's
of prepositions.
Right.
Amen. And this is such a beautiful thought. Because it's important, you know, sometimes we are like very either or kind of people. And it's like, well, works don't save me, so why should I do them? But it's, as Jonathan was saying, like, you can't be saved and not want to do good works.
Yes.
Because if you do, that's evidence that you're not saved, that Jesus mm-hmm. hasn't changed your heart. And that's part of salvation. And so, but God changing us, it's not just like, well, I need to go to visitation because mm-hmm. I have to, like, you know, rack up my points with Jesus today. But it's like, I want Jesus to work in my heart and give me compassion so I can share this free grace, this gift mm-hmm. that I've mm-hmm. so been graciously given as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian?
One of the most profound things in this verse, in verse 8, is that He doesn't say that you will be saved. Mm-hmm. He's talking to a community of people that He says, by grace you have been saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're in a present state of a past, something in the past has been accomplished.
Tell me about them.
You're going down. So, when you look at this, you've been saved.
You're talking about grace, and then you're going down. Anyway, because they're talking about grace.
We need more grace here.
So it's like, you have been saved. But notice, the grace of God was only accessible through faith.
Yeah.
You had to believe in the promise that He would give the grace.
Mm.
So there was, you're saved by grace through faith. Mm. So in this element, these two components working together, that says this is the gift of God. But mm-hmm. faith was the hand that receives the gift, not of works, right? Lest any man should boast. So in moving forward, we take an experience that we receive the grace of God through faith. And that same grace is still accessible to us for transformative power mm-hmm. to execute works of compassion and service and development. Like, I want to be compassionate. Mm-hmm. I want to have more love. And he's saying, guess what? You're going to access that by faith.
Mm-hmm. So grace has already been offered as a gift. That the water has been poured down. Mm-hmm. Now it's only up to us to extend through faith and to connect, finish that connection.
Yes.
And then the water flows out, and then good works is just
because there was a time when I lived in Boston, I was taking the train, and typically, I'm trying to be super holy. You know, I sit in, I'm reading my Bible on the train, and you never know, it might spark a conversation with someone. Oh, what are you reading there, young man?
I'm glad you asked.
I'm so glad you asked. And while I'm sitting there this time, no one was asking me, right? No interaction. But normally before this, it would always happen. Someone would ask me about, oh, are you a Christian? You know, what church you go to? And this particular day, no one said anything, mm-hmm. which I know now after the fact, in hindsight, that God did that intentionally because it's something he wanted me to see. So finally, looking up from my Bible, I see someone sitting across from me at severe progression of rheumatoid arthritis. And they probably were around my age. I mean, mm-hmm. knuckles, everything are bent in, other joints. And you could tell that the guy just felt ashamed to be on that train in public.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment of time, as I'm sitting here thinking about ministering to someone, I never felt more helpless wow. in ministry in my life. Wow. And I could see as the tears were coming in my eyes as I looked at this guy who felt so ashamed and didn't want anyone to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately could sense that God is saying, I needed to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
And that heart that Jesus had, it was something that you have to embrace by faith. You can't just get those experiences
mm-hmm.
just because, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just going to go put myself here. There's got to be a sense and awareness, and faith is that sense to receive it.
My takeaway from this episode is that we need more and more of this amazing grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by technology. It's not by information. It's not by experience, but simply the grace of God that transforms humanity. And that's my prayer. I want more of this grace that's already been given. I need the faith to grab hold of it.
Amen.
Hopefully that's your prayer. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Inverse. Join us next week as we talk more about the justice and mercy of God.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by The Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.